Whether you're just wrapping up the night shift or on your way to start the day, we got what you need.
Welcome to the morning shift.
It's the most mid team in history.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
Any pizza for me can be a personal.
Can't wait.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
I've had my butt chewed by Nick Saban a few times.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
Do you know who I am? I'm Squid Bill.
You tell him I'm coming. And hell's coming with me, you hear?
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Erie McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
The Morning Shift is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
It's actually Tribble, Mike, and Bo. Welcome to The Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So, gentlemen, I was at the urinal this morning, and T.J. Watt hit me. He's just everywhere.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I tried to chip him for you, but...
I was going
to
say, did the stall get a chip from Kyle Pitts?
A feeble chip. Man, he was playing with his hair on fire yesterday. Not what we expected or wanted coming out the gate. The final score yesterday, Chris Boswell, 18. Falcons 10.
Yeah, I was going to say, he had to have gotten the game ball, right? He also punted one time, too.
He did.
Look, man, we did the post game yesterday. How was the flyover? Because I know that... Like, you take callers, you're around the fans, you get more of the post-game vibe than I think we do being in the studio. I'm curious what the flyover was like.
First of all, massive thanks to the lovely Evita McDaniel. She does marketing over there at the Signia Hilton. She smells really good, too, and just very, very accommodating.
You smelled her?
Well, you couldn't help it. She
had an aura.
She had an aura. Yeah, it wasn't, I didn't smell her neck or anything inappropriately. But Neston 4, what a beautiful sports
bar. I told you that was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Man, I had the... tater tots covering the shredded Wagyu beef. Then I had a nice burger as well. And it was all Steeler fans in there yesterday.
Can't imagine
why. 90%. What was the stadium like? What percentage?
You tell me, Mike. I thought 65-35. I thought the Falcons fans outnumbered it, but I thought there was a good representation of Steelers.
A vocal minority.
To be honest with you, I wouldn't have given them 35%. I thought it was more 75-25. And shout out to the Falcons fans, because not only were they there in good numbers, I thought their hair was on fire. Before the game, I thought they were making their presence known. Steelers definitely had a presence. I'm not gonna lie about that.
Yep.
But when you saw something happen, you saw a lot more white Falcons flags than you did yellow terrible towels. I'll just say that. So I thought that was a good sign, and I kind of tweeted it out. I was like, man, it's the there's a presence, but these Falcons fans are out for blood in this building right now. So it was good to see.
And Arthur Smith was on the field yesterday, not up in the booth. What kind of any palpable response to him when he sauntered out onto the field?
Not that I noticed, but I don't know that he didn't just. I don't know that any of the fans would have just noticed him. He wasn't put on the halo board or anything like that. I mean, some people close to the tunnel might have looked, but I didn't notice anything over the top for sure.
But after the game, as I predicted, though, he took off his shirt and was swinging it over his head and did a lap around the field, saying, "This is my house." Right?
Kind of disappointed. I thought we maybe should have done something like the Hawks always do, and maybe put something in a timeout of Arthur Smith, "Welcome home, Arthur. Thanks for all the, thanks for the 21 wins." But I thought Arthur actually did a decent job. For what they did, their offense didn't do a lot, but he didn't really overcomplicate it. Basically the game plan to me for Pittsburgh was play to our strengths, which is defense, keep the ball on the ground for the most part, and let Chris Boswell hit 5-6 field goals.
And that 57 yarder would have been good from 77. It looked like that was just. He boomed it.
They made it in the red zone, if I'm not mistaken, one time. And that was that last drive where the Falcons got the stop. Other than that, they weren't in the red zone at all. I mean, his field goals were 57, 51, 44, 56, 40. And then the 25-yarder late. I mean, holy smokes. Like, that was unbelievable from Chris Boswell. And I told Arch, as soon as the game was over, we're walking down the locker room to do our post-game interviews, and I said, well, I didn't have on the bingo card that you would lose the opener without giving up a touchdown.
Yeah.
That one I didn't have.
I think the beauty of that, too, is that, like, a lot was made of Justin Fields. A lot was made of Arthur Smith. A lot was made of Russell Wilson not playing, everything else. And, yes, they won, and that's the gut punch. But it wasn't like a celebratory offensive just juggernaut. You didn't run the Fields package and score four touchdowns and do all the other things. So it wasn't like they went out of the stadium with a fist raised high. It was like
they're like, well, we escaped with one there.
Yeah, I mean we got a little bit lucky. Our game plan worked a little bit better than theirs did offensively, and that's why we come out of here with a victory. So and that was not hard to do, let's be honest.
I'll tell you one thing about Justin Fields, what always makes me kind of fear him a little bit. He can look so awful. A botched snap, a terrible read, just very inaccurate throw. You look like he's just totally out of sorts and lost, and then he'll tuck it and run for 50 yards, or he'll hit a big pass to like a George Pickens or something. That's what he does.
Should have known it wasn't our day on the opening snap for Pittsburgh offensively. He botches the snap.
And we didn't get the fumble.
And No, it wasn't even that. It said they falled forward for 3 yards and gained. They gained 3 yards on a botched snap.
Like,
I think he botched about three of them at some point in the game, because there was another one where he was able to regain it, just kind of throw it back to Najee Harris, and he got a good game. Man, it was a physical game yesterday. I mean, look, we'll get to the deficiencies that the offense had on the next segment, or maybe here in a second. But we got to take our hat off. And I'm wearing my Cancun Mexican Grill hat. Take my hat off to the defense, because Grady Jarrett, David Onyemata, Eddie Goldman, Matthew Judon, dude, Justin Simmons was flying around. Those guys played phenomenal yesterday. The linebackers and I thought Troy Anderson looked pretty good coming back. So did Nate Landman played well. Caden Ellis, the defense was absolutely phenomenal. George Pickens caught a few. Probably to me, the best throw of the day for Justin Fields was, I think it was the late in the second half. He makes the throw to Pickens where he basically threw Pickens into the ball because AJ had good coverage on the outside, and Justin Fields did a good job of putting it on the inside part there, Mike, and he basically just threw Pickens into the ball.
Yeah, there was a couple nice plays that Justin Fields did make yesterday, and let's be honest, it was a very Justin Fields-esque game. There were some throws that I'm sure he'd like to have back, but very few negative plays. And that's the beauty of what Justin Fields is.
Took care of the ball.
He took care of the ball for the most part. Even when things broke down, he's able to – I mean, you saw it on the second play of the game. He rolls out, steps out from behind – his offensive line, he can't get anything and gains like 8 yards with his legs. And that's the beauty of Justin Fields. Now, you're going to have throws. There was one along the sideline to Pickens. There's one behind Najee Harris where we talked about it earlier. Najee kind of looks back and stares him down. So there's going to be those plays, but more times than not, he's going to get you out of trouble. And that's all he had to do yesterday, right? I mean, you look at it and you're like, oh, Justin Fields. That's all he had to do was just keep him out of trouble, keep him out of negative stuff, because the Falcons' offense couldn't do anything.
I guess credit to him. He didn't lose his mind and try to do too much. He goes, wow, our defense is really balling, so I can just relax and just execute the game plan.
Well, and, they didn't put too much on him either, though. They didn't put him. I mean, there were situations where Mike just kind of alluded to it. What was it, Mike? It was the second – it was the second field goal they got. They get inside like the 30, and then they do this little trick play with Pickens. They lose 10 yards. It's two straight run plays after that, and they let Boswell kick. I think that was the 51-yarder because they knew they had that. In hindsight, if Kirk Cousins would have made some better decisions with the ball, we might be talking about a different result, because I felt he pressed and made some bad decisions, which cost you. And I know we'll get into that on the other side.
Yeah, it's the post-mortems, Falcons Monday. It's also a man-up Monday. How do we do with our picks? That's coming up at 6:40. But 18-10 the final. Falcons 0-1 as they head up to Philadelphia for a Monday night game next week. It's a morning shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.